Luke 23:39. One of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him. "Aren't you the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since you're under the same sentence? We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done nothing wrong." You may be seated. What a wonderful day, what a wonderful morning, what a wonderful life. God is, he's certainly our deliverer, he's our rescuer, and God certainly, he just is, God is. What a wonderful thing to know that even before time was created, God is. And when you think about the word embrace, a lot of things that can come to your mind. But this morning I want to have you to look at the word embrace in a different kind of way. I want you to be able to not just embrace religion, which is what a lot of people do, but I want you to be able to embrace righteousness. I want you to have a conscious awareness of who God is, and not a conscious awareness of just religion. I want the thought of righteousness to not only be a practice of religion in your life, but I want you to understand that true righteousness is a conscious and continual action of godly character and reverence. We're talking about the righteous among us, the righteous among us. There are a lot of things that we want to do in this life. There's some things that we just will not do. Some things we just can't bring ourselves to do no matter what. We just fail to do it. We're aware of it. We have embraced it, but we just can't seem to get to it. I want you this morning to embrace this verse. You're getting ready to read Matthew chapter 5, verse number 20. Embrace this verse and be consciously aware of it, because it's a pretty familiar verse, but too often it's taken for granted. So let's embrace this verse and let's just have it for just this morning's period that we're together, if for nothing else. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 20. A lot of people misuse this verse. I think it's all about money, but it's not about money at all. It's about us. "For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees," your righteousness needs to exceed that of those people that are religious, "you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." Your righteousness. So that means that you do have a righteousness that comes from God, but how often is that righteousness exercised? How often do we put it to the side to practice religion instead of righteousness that comes from God? Jesus had just come down from the mountain, and he looks at him and he says these words: "You shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven unless your righteousness exceeds that of those folks that are religious." John chapter 8, I want to read until you're hearing this morning. Verses 1 through 11, John chapter 8, verses 1 through 11. There are just some things that we just don't want to do. We just can't bring ourselves to do it at all. Jesus just came down from another mountain. John chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said unto him, "Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say?" They said this, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted himself up and said unto them, "He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even until the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman was standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, he saw no one but the woman. He said unto her, "Woman, where are those thine accusers? Had no man condemned thee?" She said, "No man, Lord." And Jesus said unto her, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." I really want to have us this morning to interject ourselves into this story. I really want you to get yourself in a mindset to where you understand what Jesus is saying to us in this story. It's all over now. It's the very next day. God has forgiven her, and she finds herself in the company of you and I. Come with me. She finds herself in the company of Christian sisters and brothers. A woman taken in adultery, about to die at the hands of men who accused not the man that she was caught with, but only want to accuse her. And here she is today in our midst. She walks in and she's dressed nicely. She's looking good. And she's laughing and talking as if nothing ever happened. But you know what happened. You know what act that she committed. And now it's time for you to act. What do you do? Do you practice religion? Or do you practice righteousness? How do you treat her? How should you treat her? She's sitting right next to you. She's in the midst of those who are your Christian brothers and sisters that you are close to. And here comes this woman. Yesterday she was caught in sin that's egregious. But today here she is. Right in front of you. What are you going to do with her? How does that make you feel? You know your thoughts. But because there are just some things that we just can't do. There are just some things that we just don't want to do. Lord have mercy. Hopefully God will have mercy on her, because I'm just not. I'm not going to do it. Because I know who she is, I know where she was, and I know. But don't forget one thing. She's been forgiven by God. And now she's your sister too. What are you going to do with her? And what if it was you that was caught in that sin and had to be accepted by those around you as she has to? It's the very next day. What are you going to do? Lord have mercy. Lord, have mercy, because I just can't. I want to tell you some true life stories. It may have happened to you. Sometimes life is a little difficult, isn't it? Sometimes life is a little bit challenging, and we meet people that we just don't want to be bothered with. This man, he's a friend of the family, and all these stories are true. This man is a friend of the family. A man we thought we could trust to charge us the right amount of money. He cheated me and my family out of a lot of money. Anybody familiar with that? So tell me, how am I supposed to act towards this man? Should I coldly ignore him and hold him in contempt? Or should I feel harsh toward those who have forgiven him and accept him back in the fold? Should I remain bitter and distrustful? What should I do with this man? He's cheated me and my family. What should I do? How should I act? Should I embrace religion, or should I embrace righteousness? Lord, have mercy. Because I'm not. This lady here has ruined the lives of several families. And she's irreparably hurt and scarred the lives of the children that evolved in those families as well. She's run from pillar to post. and counting over the years, now she's up to her fifth man. Should I continue to look down upon her as a home wrecker? Should I distrust and feel resentment toward those who receive her back into their lives? Tell me, I know who this woman is and she's not a good person. Tell me, how am I supposed to act towards her now? Lord have mercy. Because I'm not. Years ago, she believed in him. Interject yourself into these stories. This is what I want you to do this morning. Years ago, she believed in him. She believed in his convincing character and believed in his fake healing. My mother turned over our family's inheritance to the spiritual advisor, and he swindled her out of every penny my father has left to us. You with me? You there? After such a long time of corner living on the backs of the poor and preying on their feelings, as he lives in a house that's on the hill and drives cars that I can't even think about, and he might even have a helicopter. After all those things, preying on the backs of the poor and preying on their feelings, now he has asked for forgiveness. Tell me how I ought to treat this man. Some people trust him. Some people even love him because they can't see past him. And through tears, he said that he repents and he's secure in his forgiveness. But how can I trust such a deceitful man? He swindled my mother out of every penny that we owned. He swindled my mother. Lord have mercy. Because me, I'm just not. I'm not. Come with me. After killing my wife and my mother and my father and causing me to be on the run because he might kill me as well, I lived underground and I lost my business. But now this man, true to life, is a Christian. He's been converted to the Lord. How am I supposed to treat this man who was the assassin in the murder of our beloved brother? He's been converted to Christ. And I hear he may soon be asked to address the church that I attend. He's coming in the door, a murderer. And I can't bear to think of all the sorrow that his actions have brought upon me and my family, and he's ruined my life. How can I face this man? And even more, how can I listen to this man preach? Lord have mercy. Lord has got to have mercy because I am just not. I have no mercy in me. No love at all. And in Luke 15, 11 through 32, a story is told of the prodigal son is what it's called. And when you look at this story, you see a whole lot of things that it tells us about God and tells us about ourselves. And this is how I see the elder brother and what he says. So this is what this music and dancing is all about, isn't it? I come home, there's music and there's dancing, and what is it all about? My so-called brother has finally come home. He's come crawling back home, but only after staining the family name and wasting our family fortune. He threw all the way on harlots, and now, when he has no place else to turn, he comes back home and expects me to receive him. Well, don't expect me to accept him back with open arms. No siree, not me. Let him stew in his own juice. After all, he's degraded our family and destroyed our family name. I can understand how dad can allow him back on, even on the property. let alone give him a welcome home party feast. He never even gave me one thing, but he left, caused all this havoc in the family. Here he comes. What a travesty of honor and justice. I'm going to let Dad know exactly how I feel about my so-called brother. And later, after talking to his father and expressing his bitterness, I wonder if the elder brother ever thought these words: how should I treat my brother when I see him? Well, he already knew how he was going to treat him because he let his father know exactly how he felt. And here's the phrase: Lord have mercy, because I'm not. All these stories are familiar. They're true to life stories, and we can identify with them. Come with me. The first guy, who was the swindler. He was a friend of the family, a man who we thought we can trust to charge us the right amount of money. In Luke chapter 19, Jesus calls his name Zacchaeus, a swindler. Got rich by cheating me and my family out of hard-earned money, but he was forgiven by the Lord in Luke 19, 8 through 10. And how did the Lord treat him? The Lord had mercy. If the Lord had mercy on him, surely I can if I want to practice righteousness. But I can't bring myself to have mercy on him if I am just religious. There are Christians among us, amen? And there are Christians among us who just can't bring themselves to forgive a man like Zacchaeus. But God did. God did. That old woman in the second story, who ruined the lives of several families and was referred to as a home wrecker from pillar to post with five men. Jesus met her in John chapter 4 and verse number 9, the Samaritan woman at the well of Jacob. She was the most immoral woman in the town at the time. She was sinful, and her evil deeds embarrassed and affected our family in such a way that our children are just crazy now. This sexually impure woman has been forgiven by God, and she has claimed to have found Jesus Christ. There are Christians among us who used to be sinners. Are you not one? How did the Lord treat this woman? The Lord had mercy, and if the Lord can have mercy, surely I can. Years ago, his mother believed in her, and he swindled his mother out of every dime that the father left him, that spiritual advisor. In Acts chapter 8, verses 9 through 25, his name is Simon the Sorcerer. A longtime spiritual advisor and con man. He'd been up to some of his old tricks, and he saw Peter and the apostles working with the Holy Spirit of God, and he wanted to pay money for it. And Peter corrected him with the word of God. And this man asked for forgiveness. Peter, pray for me that the Lord might forgive me. And Peter did. And he was forgiven. And how did Peter treat him? Peter had mercy on him. And how did God treat him? God had mercy on him. And if God can have mercy on him, surely. Amen. Luke 15, 11 through 32, the elder brother. We always talk about the younger brother who takes all that stuff and just leaves home and just goes wasted all over the place. But there was a brother that was there who was mean and bitter the whole while. He did what his father asked him, but he did it because he had to do it, because he had no place to go either. There are those of us that are Christians in the church, Christians among us, If we leave the church, we have nowhere else to go. So we sit and we seethe in the church and we become bitter because we don't think that God does for us what he ought to do. There are people in the world who seem to have everything. World by the tail. All this material stuff. And what God gives us is spiritual things. That's not enough for me. Lord, have mercy. This man comes in my life. He comes in my family. He cheats me and swindles me. And I'm supposed to forgive this man? I'm supposed to have mercy on this man? God did it. And if we are Christians, we'll be able to do it too. Here's one last scenario for you. We've had a quarrel. Me and you. You and me. And there were some things that were said that were harsh and they were unfair. Come with me. Interject yourself in this story. This is real life stuff. Christianity is for spiritual people. Amen. We have had a quarrel. Some things were said shouldn't have been said. And I just don't care now. How can I care any longer? I'm sick and tired of hearing those things that you're saying to me. I don't want to hear them anymore. I can say what I want to say though. Amen. And you better hear that. How can we continue on like this as Christians? As Christians. You're a Christian. I'm a Christian. We having a quarrel. We've been together for a long time. Our friendship has been through the ages. We've got a relationship, church, and we've just had a quarrel. And we drove down the street and we came into the building. Me and my wife had just had a quarrel. Me and my husband just had a quarrel. And our relationship has been lasting for a long time. But now my marriage only seems to be academic. It's anemic because I'm just tired of having mercy. I'm tired of loving. I just don't care anymore. I can't even seem to reconcile myself back to you. Lord, have mercy. Because I am not. Can you say it? You know you're not. You might as well say it. Lord, hey, you have mercy, Lord. Because I'm not, but I am Christian. And I want to be righteous, but right now I can't get past my religion. I can't get past myself. Some things I just can't do. Some things I just can't seem to do. Lord, you just go and you have mercy because I just don't have any in me. Let's interject ourselves again into this story. We have the embrace of mercy. We know it. It's just not our cup of tea. We say we practice love all the time. What is love without mercy? What is it? Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22. Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. Till seven times? Jesus said unto him, I sin to thee until seven times. But until 70 times seven. I mean, that's 490 times, isn't it? I don't even think we've got to 10. But the 490 just says that you keep doing it. Because if you keep doing it, it's going to become a habit, and you'll have love, mercy, compassion, and you do just what the Lord does all of the time. You will have mercy because you can do it. Church, you can do it. You can get over yourself. You can get over the misery and the dispute and all the sin that Satan brings your way, and you can live righteously in the Lord. Because we are Christians, you can do it. Matthew 6, 14 and 15. Father, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you yours. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your heavenly Father forgive you your trespasses. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God all the time. And we see people do things. It just so happens it's just not us doing it, but it could be us just as well. Amen. And they come into our midst as if nothing ever happened, but they've been forgiven by God, but we don't recognize that because, Lord have mercy, I'm just not. I'm not going to do it. But I'm a Christian. Why is it that we practice our Christianity in the world, and when we come together collectively as the Lord's body, we can't practice Christianity among each other? Lord have mercy is the right. Because I'm not. James chapter 2 and verse number 13. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. How's your relationship with your mother, with your father, with your sisters, with your brother? How's your relationship with your son or your daughter? How was your relationship with God? Lord, have mercy. Because I'm not. Christianity is about relationships. And it starts with ourselves. And we shouldn't be fighting against ourselves. We should be fighting against sin. But we love it. Can't get over it. We don't practice mercy enough. Ephesians 4:32. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sakes has forgiven who? I believe that's us. We interjected ourselves into that one. As God for Christ's sake has forgiven. That's one thing I'm so grateful to God for, that he sees me and he knows that I sin and fall short of his glory. And when I walk into his midst, he doesn't look at me and judge me. He just forgives me. Because he can. Because that's his will. Because he wants to. We got to stop practicing religion and be righteous before God. We got to be Christians, church. Christians. Colossians 3:13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. You forgive too. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual. Oh, there it is right there. Amen. That's where the rubber meets the road right there, church. You that are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Acts chapter 7, verses 59 and 60. Man of God named Stephen, our dear brother. And they stoned Stephen. And he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice. Rocks coming from everywhere, bleeding, aching in pain. He cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Can you do that? We're not being hit by rocks. We're not being beaten down. We're just full of judgment. God has forgiven these people that we mentioned earlier in this lesson, every last one of them. You know what's so incredible about that? God has also forgiven you. Amen? And what if the shoe was on the other foot and now you find yourself in the company of the Christians among us? What will you do? What are you going to do? Lord have mercy. Because I'm not. I'm not. Here's one final embrace, church. One final embrace. Luke chapter 18. verses 9 and 13. Luke chapter 18, verses 9 and 13. Again, a familiar verse of scripture, but I need you to embrace this. Amen? Interject yourself there. Luke 18, 9. And he spake this parable unto certain, listen who he said it to, certain which trusted in themselves that they were religious. That what it says? A lot of people trust that they're righteous, but it's their own righteousness, and they despise others. Verse number 13 says, and the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but he smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me. There it is. God, have mercy on me, because somebody else just won't do it. I am a sinner, Lord. I need mercy. Rescue me from myself, if nothing else. First Peter chapter 4, verses 16 through 19. To the Jews of the dispersion, here's what our brother Peter had to say. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, there's that word, there are Christians among us, and we suffer all the time, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Here we go. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, Christians among us. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God be? And if the righteous, I want you to think about that, embrace this. If those of us that are righteous are scarcely saved, skin of the teeth, where shall those religious people appear? Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit to the keeping of their souls. We gotta commit to that in well-doing, though. And we say, Lord, have mercy, and I'm just not. That's not any well-doing at all. We've got to commit our lives and our souls unto a faithful Creator. God is faithful. You know, back in the book of Luke, chapter 23, they took this Jesus, they took this God, they put him on trial, beat him, spit on him, mocked him, crown of thorns on his head. He was bleeding profusely. You know what they did after that? They took a heavy piece of wood, and they put it on his back that was bleeding. And he says, you carry. You're going to carry it up this hill. And he did. And he did. You know what Luke 23:34 says? It says, Jesus got up that hill, and he took that cross, and he put it in the ground, and stretched him out. And he continued to mock him. Pierced his side. From his side came water and blood. And he's above the crowd. All those people that have done him wrong. You know what he says? God have mercy. Amen. But he didn't say what we said, because I'm not. He says, Father, forgive them. Because they know not what they do. You know what you're doing? Do you really know what you're doing if you think that you have love without mercy? Do you really know what you're doing if you think that you're the only one that's being forgiven in this life and no one else is forgiven? Do you know what you're doing when you judge someone just by looking at them? We size people up all the time. And we size them up for two reasons, either to judge them or to fight them. Well, he ain't big as me. I might be able to take him. We never size up ourselves, though, when it comes to God. Put yourself up next to God's word and see how you look. Do that. Because God is a God of mercy, justice, and peace. And God will always have mercy, even when you will not. Christian, Listen, there are those of us out there that we sin and fall short of God's glory every time, every day of our lives. And we've got to come near to God, and God's going to come near us. He says to those of us that are not Christians, to hear his word. In Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Will you hear God's word today? God is willing to have mercy, waiting on you. He says you need to believe that I am he. You know, 1 John 5:10 through 11 says this. He that believeth on the Son of God had witness in himself. He that believeth not, God had made him to be a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God had given to us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. God have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. We need to repent of our sins, church. In Matthew chapter 9, verse number 13, this is what Jesus says. But you go and learn what it means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Are you ready? Are you ready to repent of your sins? Those of us that are Christians, are you ready to repent of your sins? Those of us that are not Christians, that don't even know God, are you ready to hear God's word and believe God's word? Are you ready to repent of your sins? Are you ready to confess Christ? Confess the fact that Lord, I know that I've done you wrong. And Lord, I know that when someone comes into my presence, I know that I can do them wrong as well. And I just can't help it. We've got to confess Christ. 1 John 4, 2 and 3 says, hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus come in the flesh is not of God. Will you confess Christ today? Will you do it? Will you hear his word? Stop being so stubborn and get outside of yourself. Hear God's word. Believe that Jesus is Christ. Confess your sins. We all have faults. We all have trying times and days in our lives that God needs to have mercy because we're not. Repent of your sins and be baptized in Christ for the remission of your sins. Be baptized in Christ. A lot of folks, Lord, have mercy because I'm just not. Lord, you know, I've been baptized already. That's what they say. And what do you mean by being baptized already? If you've been baptized according to God's word or just according to a religious standard, that's a big difference. If you want righteousness, Jesus told John, he says, listen, John, suffer it to be so now. Baptism is proper, and it's to fulfill all what? Help me now. Righteousness. So if you've been baptized already, have you been baptized only for religious purposes or for the righteousness that comes from God? Galatians 3, 26 and 27. For we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus, through faith and not the faith that we have. It's the faith that comes from God. We're too busy trusting in ourselves and not in God, and that's why we're not going to have mercy on anybody. For we all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of us as have been baptized into Christ, you can't get into Christ unless you're baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. And you decide. Interject yourself into this story. You're a sinner and you haven't accepted Christ. The great and last day could be any minute. God could come right now. Will you be ready? If you died right now, here's the phrase. We're getting ready to sing the invitation song. If you died right now, Lord have mercy, because I'm not going to accept your salvation. If we can help you today, why don't you come? We stand and sing God's invitation song. Yeah.